Hey everybody, it's Adam, live and in person for you. Hey everybody, it's Adam, wonder who he'll interview.
Hey everyone, it's Adam, and I am so excited to catch up with my entertainment idol, the legendary Jennifer Bassey, who you know for her 30-plus year run as man-hungry nymphomaniac Marion Colby on ABC's All My Children. Jennifer's illustrious career has taken her to the theatrical stage, both on and off Broadway, film, and now Jennifer is getting ready to make her solo cabaret debut at 54 Below, which she has been planning since at least 2017 when we last spoke about it.
Exactly.
And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Adam Rothenberg, and for the past 16 years, I have been going behind the scenes with artists and celebrities from the world of film, television, theater, and music. With over 2,200 interviews under my belt, I make my guests feel comfortable and at ease, allowing them to talk about life behind the curtain. So without further ado, please welcome the one, the only, the icon herself, Jennifer Bassey.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. It's so good to see you and so good to be here with you today.
Thank you. It is so great to catch up with you. I am so excited about your upcoming 54 Below show, which is happening October 14th and 15th.
Right.
And it is called, I love the title of your show, From Sexy Soaps to Classy Cabaret.
Right.
So now, we last spoke about this briefly in 2017 when we did an interview together. So this has been several years in the making.
Right.
What is the moment like for you that it's actually happening now?
Well, you know, COVID put everything on the back burner. You know, I was getting close to opening right before COVID. And then it, you know, nobody was doing anything. We weren't even throwing the garbage out in fear of getting COVID, you know. So I feel like I'm giving birth to an elephant, like I've been pregnant for 4,000 years, you know. My friend Charlotte Ray, you know, who was starring on Facts of Life, Charlotte called me one day and she said, Jennifer, it's Charlotte. And I said, hi, honey, how are you? She said, listen, I know you want to do a cabaret act. And I just saw someone named Marilyn May. And she was doing a class for cabaret. Anyway, long story short, I got involved with Marilyn for many, many, many years. We have parted our ways in this last year. I have another musical director now, but I've got to tell you, she's 97 years old. She filled Carnegie Hall last year. She has a street named after her, and she's beyond brilliant. So anyway, so that's who I studied with all these years. And 54 Below to me is the place to work in Manhattan. I think, first of all, the location is perfect. The whole design of the restaurant and the, you know, stage is perfect. Sight lines are perfect. The food is delicious. The waiters are fabulous, you know. And so what's not to like? You know, I feel like a pig in poop, you know, that I have landed in the best place you could possibly want to open. And I have a great musical director. And it's less than like 2.5 weeks away now.
Yep. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
So exciting. Now, what made you initially want to branch into cabaret? Is it something you've always aspired to?
Well, I've wanted to do this since I was about 8. So that's almost 80 years. So, yeah, no, I've wanted to do this all my life. But it's something, you know, I've done everything. I've done movies, I've done sitcom, I've done drama, I've done Broadway, I've done off-Broadway, I've done, you know, everything, except two things. So this year I am doing a cabaret and I've also been doing stand-up comedy, which I'm getting a lot of good feedback on. And so I'm going to continue in the new year with stand-up comedy because those are the only two things in my 60-some years career that I've never done. And so I thought, well, let's finish it off. Let's do everything, you know? So that's what I'm doing.
Well, I have to say, I find you very inspirational. And I would love for you, because there are a lot of people who would love to try something later in life, but they're afraid. What advice would you give?
You have to walk through your fear. You know, On and off in the last few weeks, I have either been, oh, wow, or why am I doing this? I'm terrified. I can't. I mean, it's almost 2.5 weeks, and then I'm going to be out there. You know, my friend Judy Collins, the singer Judy Collins, she said, you've got to remember one thing, Jennifer. You're out there all by yourself. So I said, no, Judy, I'm not. I'm out there with a trio. I have a drummer and a bass player and a great pianist. So I'm not out there alone. And I'm out there with the great upstairs, who I talk to before I go on and say, you channel through me and you do this for me because I might mess it up and you'll do it perfectly. So I ask God to do the performance for me. And yeah, and it's like autobiographical in a way. You know, I just got married recently again, you know, after being a widow twice. And very few people get married close to 80 again, you know. Very few people do stand-up comedy at 86. Very few people do a nightclub act at 86. That's what I'm doing. The only reason I'm telling you my age right now is because you can't lie about your age after a certain point. So I open part of the show with, you know, facelifts and how old I am and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, because there's certain things you can't hide anymore because you've lived long enough to have to really be honest.
Yes.
So I'm being honest.
I love it. And also, I mean, you've done so much in your career. I feel like it's something you should be very proud of that you've been able to get, this long and this far in life, because not everybody does get to experience.
Well, you know, I left the Playboy Club to audition for the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art in London, got the lowest entrance marks in the history of the school, and it's a record I still hold. And graduated top of my class with Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Oh my
So I did pretty
gosh,
well
you
in my
did.
2.5 years there. I had my appendix out. I remember I had flown in from Chicago and I said to one of the bunnies, Bunny Claudia, I said, Claudia, darling, I'm too drunk to pack. Could you pack for me? And pack sweaters and pants, because if I get in, I'm just going to stay in England. And don't pack feather boas and evening gowns and negligees, you know. So I arrived with one pair of pants, one sweater, because she was drunker than I was, and feather boas and evening gowns. So that's all I had to wear in England for 3 years because I had my appendix out
Oh
and I
my
had to
God.
go back a term. Anyway, in 2004, I got a call from the Royal Academy from a friend of mine named Richard. And Richard said, darling, it's Richard. The centennial of the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art is 2004 this year. You still hold the record for the lowest entrance marks in the history of the school. So, why don't you fly over here and show them exactly why you got the lowest entrance mark? Do the exact audition you did in 1960. So I did. I flew over and I did the exact audition, and people were on the floor laughing because it was the worst thing you have, beyond the worst thing you've ever seen.
Oh my gosh. That is hilarious. It actually reminds me of the audition I did for one of the schools here in New York when I wanted to be an actor. And I sang my first song, and then I had a second song prepared, and I said, "Oh, don't you want me to sing the second song?" And I remember the woman went, "No, I don't. There's no need for that." And that was the
Isn't it
end.
encouraging?
Yes, very encouraging. Yes. Now, I have to, going back to your cabaret show, what do you think will surprise audiences the most about your cabaret act?
Before we get to that answer, let's take a quick break and get a word in from one of our sponsors. We'll be back in a minute. Oh, wait. You don't know? You haven't heard? You must not be subscribed to the Call Me Adam Digest. When you sign up for the Call Me Adam Digest, you are the first to know. You get a front row seat to my interviews and podcast episodes where you get to discover new things about your favorite celebrities. You get personal stories from the other side of the microphone that you wouldn't know by just reading, watching, or listening to my interviews. We get to have a weekly connection, and you can add some fun to your weekend. So come take a peek behind the curtain with the Call Me Adam Digest. Sign up today at callmeadam.com. Can't wait to see you there. Welcome back to Bearing It All with Call Me Adam. So as you were saying.
Well, I think a lot of the people who aren't coming who are coming, I mean, aren't all soap opera fans. So, I mean, I'm doing an entire segment on Marion Colby. Very few people get to play a borderline nymphomaniac alcoholic for 30 years, you know. I mean, what a gift. I've never had more fun in my entire life. So, I'm doing a whole segment with dialogue, but music, of course, about Marion. And a very funny song about where she is today. I'm going to say, now I'm sure you're all wondering where Marion is today. So I'm going to sing a song about where she is today. And then I'm going to sing a song to all the men in the audience as Marion Colby. I'm going to say to all you available men out in the audience and all you unavailable men out in the audience, this is for you. If Marion locks eyes with you, and then I'm going to sing this very sexy song. So it's a big segment about Marion, and there's a segment about my new marriage, because I just got married, and about how scary it is, you know, to come into a relationship when he was married 50 years, his wife passed away, and I was married 30 years, and you carry a lot of baggage into a relationship. So, you know, so it's, I do a whole little thing on that, and then I do a tribute to my late husband in music. He wrote the Book of Kismet, the musical that won 7 Tony Awards on Broadway. He wrote the Book of Timbuktu with Eartha Kitt, Melba Moore, and he wrote the Book of Grand Hotel, which is, I think, a perfect musical. And so I'm going to do a little tribute in music from Kismet to him, and then just songs that are very relevant. Some songs I've written myself. One song I've written myself. It's about addiction. And so it's kind of a potpourri of things, but it's really about love and relationships and losing people and actually finding someone again and re-getting married again. You know, most people kind of give up, you know. I was almost ready to, but then The Great Upstairs brought George Bamford, that's the name of my new husband. He's a wonderful playwright, into my life. So yeah, that's what happened.
God, that's fantastic. I think your show is going to have something that everybody can relate to. And I also feel like based upon what you have described, it's also going to be, it could be like a way for some people who maybe are struggling to heal or to show what's possible as well in their life, you know, with like you mentioned the
Yes, I
song
mean,
about addiction and recovery.
and you asked about something about the fear. You know,
Yes.
you can affirm things. You can say this is going to go perfectly. You know, your subconscious will, I believe, will do what you tell it to do. So, I mean, if you tell it, oh my God, I'm really scared. Oh my God, you know, what am I going to do with this microphone stand? And then what am I going to do here? What am I, you know, if you're doing that, you're just going to be a disaster, you know, because you're buying negativity. If you put in everything's going to go well, it's going to go perfectly, I'm going to have a wonderful time based with love and wit and humor, and I'll be relaxed. And if you're not putting in positivity, you know, that's what's going to come back eventually. I do know I went to comedy school about 3 months ago. And in those 3 months, I have been offered 18 more little 5-minute segments. I'm going to be working at the Gotham Comedy Club. I did 5 minutes there recently. And I found out something, you know, because I didn't know if I could do stand-up comedy or not. Okay. So not only did I find out I could do stand-up comedy, but it was like playing tennis with the audience. You know, I hit the ball to them, they laughed. I hit the ball again, they laughed. You know, it was like, what fun, you know, to just be doing something like that.
Yes.
So what I want to say to people, anybody that's in their senior years and are too afraid to do something, this is all we've got. All I've got is today. Today I'm going to be doing that fabulous nightclub act in the best club in Manhattan. And I'm looking forward to it. Sure, I mean, there is fear. You know, I mean, for instance, there's a stool that a couple of singers have fallen off of, you know. So I'm not going to sit on the stool. You know, things like that. You know, you have to move the mic stand when you pick up the mic. And, you know, technically, you don't understand everything that goes into a nightclub act. Your accompanist is always playing the next song kind of in the background. That's how you know what the song is. But most people don't know that, you know. So there's all kinds of stuff going on. Then you've got the lighting and the sound. And, you know, I admire everyone who's ever done a nightclub performance anywhere in the world because it takes a lot of guts and it takes a lot of work, but it's a hell of a lot of fun.
Well, as an audience member who has seen a lot of cabaret shows, it is a lot of fun to sit and watch and listen to the songs and the stories. I mean, I still remember I got to see Susan Lucci do her nightclub act at Feinstein's at the Regency when it was on the East Side back in 2002. I still remember this one story she told about her elementary school teacher who taught her how winning isn't everything and you don't always have to win. And then she sang this song called Winning Isn't Everything. I mean, it can really make such a mark on you that you never forget. So I cannot wait to see what mark you're going to leave from your act.
Well, you know, whatever it's going to be, it's going to be.
Yes.
But it's a dream of mine that I've always wanted to do. And I love telling the story. You know, what I talk to my musical director about always is sometimes the music is too powerful for the lyric. And I'll say, we have to, let's soften it. Why do you want to soften everything? I said, because to me, what I'm saying in a song is the most important thing. Julie Wilson, remember Julie Wilson?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I met her later in her life and I said, Julie, what are the most important things in doing a nightclub act? She said, there's only two. I said, well, what are they? She said, you have to be passionately, madly in love with every song you're singing. I said, okay. And number two, they have to hear every single word you're saying. You know, because you, a song is a story. You can't be impacted by a song unless you, at least I can't, unless I'm understanding the
You
story.
understand exactly what you're saying. I feel that way sometimes too. Now, you have mentioned a few times that you were you started one of the early things you did in your career was being a singing Playboy bunny.
Right.
Do you feel that there's anything in your life from that time that has prepared you for this cabaret show?
Well, the reason I'm an actress at all, the late great Bobby Short, and if anybody in your audience doesn't know who Bobby Short is or was, you can Google him. There's a street named after him in Manhattan, and he played at the Carlyle Hotel. I mean, you know, it costs like $800 for two people. I mean, you know, it's like the
My
top of the line
God.
nightclub in Manhattan here. He was a brilliant performer. He was performing from the age of 5 years old, singing in nightclubs and playing the piano. Okay, so I'm a singing bunny, you know, and I'm an angry bunny. I'm the meanest bunny in the hutch. I was a really angry bunny. And every time Bobby came to town, I'd say, shut up, Bobby Short singing. Shut up, all you people. I told them all to shut up, the audience. I just thought, Bobby Short is a genius, you know. So Bobby said to me one night, you shouldn't be a singing bunny, you should be an actress. I said, oh, wow, I never thought of that. So I wrote a letter to the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art and said, hi, I want to come to your school. They said, oh, well, we only take three Americans a year. And you can fly over to London. We take 30 people in London. You know, so I flew to London with a Chicago Midwest accent. And as I said earlier, I got the lowest entrance marks in the history of the school. It was Bobby Short's fault that I am an actress and that I'm here and that I'm performing. And I'm doing a few songs that he did in the 50s. I got all of his albums. I learned all his albums. I just thought he was one of the greatest entertainers I've ever seen.
My
So that's why
gosh.
I'm here. It's all Bobby Short's fault.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank goodness, and I will be happy to blame him for that because We got you and this amazing career that you've had. I still remember seeing you in Molière's
Oh my
Tartuffe.
God, that was right before the World Trade Center.
Yes.
Oh my God, we did, isn't it romantic there first? And then we did
Yes.
Tartuffe.
And I
Oh
saw you
my
in
God.
Tartuffe because I was watching you on All My Children, and then I think I read it on Playbill. You were going to be in it, and I was like, oh my God, I have to go see it. And I mean, I still remember the laughs that I had during that show and just how kind you were meeting you afterwards. And we took this great picture together. And I still have the picture. And I remember I sent you a copy at the All My Children studio, and you sent me the most beautiful postcard thanking me for coming to the show, which I still have as well. And I mean, your kindness, your generosity, we are so lucky to have you. And
You.
you're welcome. You're welcome. So now I'm going to flip the question a little bit. Is there anything you have just learned in getting ready for your cabaret show that you feel could have helped you back then as a singing Playboy bunny?
Oh, well, my God, I was a terrible singer back then. I mean, I never studied. No, I mean, there's no comparison. And I only sang one song. I sang a very dirty version of Bill Bailey, very slow. And I used to get $100 bills by everybody around the bar. And then they'd say, sing it again. And they'd give me more $100 bills. But it was like, won't you come home, Bill Bailey? I mean, very dirty. Anyway, so I did that, and that was about it. I was not a great singer. And then when I came to New York in the 60s, I had one of the greatest teachers in all of New York City, but I couldn't put it together. He'd say, you breathe here and you do that. And I'd go, really? And I couldn't do it. And so it wasn't until about 14 years ago, I met a man and I said, what do you do? And he said, I teach singing. And this voice of the great upstairs, it wasn't my voice, it said, and you're going to study with him. I said, okay. Anyway, he was an opera singer. I mean, you learn how to breathe, and where to breathe. And then I got a teacher who worked on placement. And then, and pretty soon I was able to do it. I'm still working. I mean, relaxation of the jaw. I mean, there's so much to do with singing. I mean, it is so complicated, but very exciting when you get into it, and try to figure out how to get to that vowel without holding this. And oh my God, it's all very complicated. I had no idea. It all looks simple when you see someone up there, but try it, honey. Just try it.
Yes, there's a
Go,
lot of
oh
technique
my
that
God, this is not easy,
goes.
Yeah. So my musical director is going, no, you're going, don't open your mouth as wide, keep it low, so all, there's all that going on,
Oh
so
my
it's an
gosh.
ongoing process.
Yes. Now, according to press notes, as you were mentioning, some of the themes that you do talk about in the show have to deal with you take the audience on your life's journey that's often hysterical, sometimes heartbreaking, and frequently scandalous. So I do want to take those themes into All My Children and Marion Colby. So what do you think what was the funniest moment you had as Marion?
Well, I'm going to put it into the show. I forgot to put this in. Well, it was the most shocking, one of the most shocking moments for me. My husband had died on the show, and I'm standing in front of his coffin, and I make a pass at a doctor over the coffin. Now, to me, even I said, I don't think I should do that. They said, well, you're not doing it. Marion is. I said, but that's the worst thing I've ever seen. They said, that's right. To make a pass over the coffin of your late husband, who's not even in the ground yet, but that's what she was. Marion only thought from the waist down, and I think she slept with probably every man in Pine Valley, the fictional town where all my
Yes.
children took place. Yes.
Yes. What would you say was her biggest heartbreak?
Oh, when they killed Adam. Not Adam,
Stuart.
Stuart, when they killed Stuart.
Yes.
I mean, to me, David Canary was brilliant. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. And to be able to, he used to say to me, "Well, you know why you married Stuart?" And I said, "No, why?" 'Cause we would kid around in rehearsals. He'd say, "Well, Adam, was a successful one, but Stuart got the goods."
Oh
So
my.
Marion was very happy with Stuart, and everybody on the show, everybody. It was just an amazing experience. We were the first soap opera to do an AIDS storyline, very first. We were the first to do a gay storyline, a lesbian storyline. We were always on the edge. And I know that that our creator, Agnes Nixon, had to fight with the network to get all this stuff on the air. They didn't want it. I
Wow,
mean,
yes.
cutting edge. We were always ahead, and we had a brilliant cast, I think.
Oh, definitely.
If anybody joined All My Children and they were difficult, they were gone very soon. They were not kept on. We did not have troublemakers, and they did not last if they were troublemakers.
My
We
gosh.
came in, we did our work, and it was hard work, 100 and some pages every day. They do 7 pages a day in a movie. We did over 100 pages a day on All My Children. That's a lot of dialogue.
That is.
And so you get in the morning, and sometimes you don't get out. You come in at 7, and if you're doing a wedding or a big thing, you don't get out till midnight. Then you go back
Wow.
again at 7 in the morning. So nobody knows. It's somebody said, "Oh, I'd like to get an easy soap." I said, "Let me know when you find one." Because there ain't no such
Well,
thing.
I do have to ask now also about the cabaret show, which again is going to be at 54 Below, October 14th and 15th. And I do want to let everybody know, which on October 15th as well, it is being live streamed. So if you can't make it to 54 Below in person, you will be able to watch it from the comfort of your own home. Now, the title of the cabaret show is From Sexy Soaps to Classy Cabaret. Do you feel like you've gone from sexy to classy, or just playing off of
Well, to
that a
both.
little
I brought
bit?
a little sex from daytime into the show, and then classier things, doing a lot of very famous composers, Mr. Sondheim and Cole Porter, and I know you're on the list, a lot of people. And so there's classy, there's funky, there's an original song I wrote about addiction. So there's all kinds of things. You just never know what's going to pop out of my mouth. I mean, I know, but you have to hear it, but I know it's going to pop out.
Yes. Well, I do have to start wrapping things up. So, since I'm also going to put this interview out on my podcast, I do want to end things by playing off of the title of my podcast, which is Bearing It All with Call Me Adam. So, you have revealed a lot of things today, but if you could bear it all and reveal something you haven't talked about before, what would you share with me today?
Well, I would go back to fear. Every time I walk through my fear, I come out stronger and better, but I also come out realizing I can do this. It's walking through your fear is the biggest thing, because I think most human beings ha carry, whether they know it or not, a lot of fear around with them. And it's usually covered up by anger or self-centeredness, or whatever it's covered up by, but usually it's fear. So how do you deal with your fear on a daily basis? Just getting up in the morning and saying, "I'm just going to walk through that. I'm going to enroll in comedy school, and I'm going to get up every week and perform comedy, no matter what. If I fall on my face, if you fall on your face, it doesn't matter. What matters is doing it." And what's wrong with not doing it is means you're sitting paralyzed in your fear, afraid of the approval you may not get, and you have to let go of wanting everyone to go, "Oh, isn't they wonderful? Isn't she fabulous?" No, you just do it because you love to do it. That's it.
Oh my
But
God.
walking through your fear, like if there's something that one of your people that's listening to this was thinking about doing, don't think about it. Do it. Do it. Does that answer your question?
Yes, that is perfect. And I think that is actually the perfect way to end things by just do it. And the one thing everybody listening and watching should do is purchase a ticket to Jennifer's cabaret show. Jennifer Bassey, from sexy soaps to classy cabaret, will play at 54 Below in New York City on Tuesday, October 14th and Wednesday, October 15th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And don't forget, there will be a live stream option for the October 15th show. And I will have all the ticket information and how to access in-person tickets and the streaming on my website, callmeadam.com. So Jennifer, thank you so much for your time today. It was great catching up with you, and I can't wait to come see the show.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Very welcome. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
He'll get the dirt and the scoop and the story, for he happens to be in the know. Just ask anybody who's Adam lives for the business of show. Callmeadam.com.